Xbox shows off just a couple new titles in an Xbox Direct, Washington Post kills its gaming division, and we need to talk about banter in video games. All this and more on this episode of Checkpoint.
Welcome back to Checkpoint, brought to you by Strictly Casual, your number one show bringing you the important news and breaking down big stories in the gaming industry. I'm one of your hosts, Vincent DeSantis, joined today by James Walmer, baby. James, how you doing?
Doing good, baby.
Good. I'm so glad.
Good day.
Good. Audio listeners, thank you for listening on your podcast platforms. It helps us out. If you want to jump over to YouTube, we have a lot of video content that you might not have looked at before. It's on youtube.com/strictlycasual. And if you're on YouTube and you've never watched or listened to our audio content, you could check that out too, back and forth. Right now, we've been doing Last of Us streams after each episode. I didn't do last week. Ryder did that one solo. But there will be another one Sunday night, so we're excited about that. And the TikToks are in full swing again, the short form content. So we've probably done 6 or 7 of them last week, and I mean, it really helps out the channel, like, big time, because I think
really.
Not only
like
does
the main YouTube channel.
Yeah, our main YouTube channel. Like, we post a short and it might get 2,000 views, let's say. But then maybe 10% of those people will click on our channel from that. And then if another video interests them, it boosts our overall views, especially if the TikTok is about the video that we posted. Like, let's say a TikTok is made from, like, last week, our clip on Suicide Squad. Like, that had a great turnover rate of, like, people coming back to the channel and then watching the whole Suicide Squad video, even though we didn't explicitly say, check out the whole video for all the information.
Sure.
You know? Pretty awesome. Yeah,
we don't need to.
It's pretty fun.
Whoa. Pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's jump into the first piece right here, James, and that is the Xbox Direct that happened yesterday. Well, excuse me, the Xbox Developer underscore Direct. That is kind of that's what they were going for.
Is there an official underscore?
It's everywhere. It is an every single press thing.
Crazy.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, it happened.
Mm-hmm. Emphasis on the .. Because it happened.
Yeah.
And we got announcements. We got a few announcements. We got, updates on Minecraft. We got a little Elder Scrolls Online getting free chapters, whatever that means.
You can play 40 of their DLCs for free, which previously cost, like, I don't know, $10 to $20 a piece. It's huge.
Which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But I just don't know if that audience is there. I mean, I know Elder Scrolls Online people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they've already bought that DLC if that's who they're catering to.
Well, I think
their
also...
idea is they want to open it up to new players. But I feel like no one wants to jump in at this point. Maybe they do.
I'm willing to try a little bit. Like, I kind of want to.
I tried it when it first came out.
Me too.
And I early on decided that this game was not for me.
Yeah. I think this comes with the announcement of their newer DLC as well that they've kind of announced. I have no idea if it's paid or not, the newest one. I'm assuming if you're on Game Pass, maybe you get it. The guy said there's no subscription. There is in-game purchases. That's how they make their money. But, like, it's free to download and get in, and all the story content isn't locked behind a paywall at this point in time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Yeah.
In addition to that, in addition to Redfall getting a release date, finally... and Forza Motorsport.
How did those look to you, though? I want to talk about them a little bit.
I didn't watch the trailers.
Okay. So Forza Motorsport looks incredible. It looks very similar to how Gran Turismo...
It always does. It never doesn't look good.
Gran Turismo. We'll see how it goes. I've played a lot of the newest Gran Turismo here in the last couple months. I really like it. I really, really like it.
Horizon? Oh, sorry. You said
Gran Turismo. Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
because B has it?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
What I think is that Gran Turismo doesn't look as good as they told us it looked. Like, the trailers were so good that we're like, this is realism. This is realism. And you play it and you're like, huh, that texture's like a little creamy. It doesn't look quite right. A lot of things look really good and the showcase rooms look great and everything, but it does not look as good as they promoted it to be, in my opinion. That being said, I think Forza Motorsport will deliver in this photorealism thing that they're doing with this game because it looks insane.
Forza Motorsport has never not looked incredible. I mean, it's the racing games. The racing games are a technical showcase more than anything, I feel like.
They could really develop the hell out of those tracks. And, like, you have, what, 30 tracks or something instead of 50 to 100 miles of open world or something like that that you're putting out.
Right.
Yeah. And the car models and all that kind of stuff, they scan in.
The car models are insane. They scan it in, like, pixel for pixel, whatever.
Yeah.
But I want to highlight a specific game.
Yeah, yeah.
That it's getting buzzed that I didn't expect. It's called Hi-Fi Rush. And it's from the same studio that did The Evil Within.
Yeah, so they announced it before the direct that there was going to be four games shown. And they announced exactly what it was going to be. They told us we were getting a Forza update, Minecraft update, Redfall update, and Elder Scrolls update. They did not even mention that this was happening.
This is a surprise.
Yeah.
And it's a rhythm-based third-person action game.
Yeah.
Hack and slash. And it looks so good. It's getting nothing but praise. It came out on release. So
yes,
when that conference happened, they dropped it. They said it's on Xbox Game Pass.
Yeah.
Right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody's been playing it and people fucking love it.
Yeah. It looks pretty
cool.
And
I'm so glad.
Yeah.
It's the most buzz I've seen post conference, is what I'm saying. Like, whole point is they announced all these things, like Elder Scrolls, kind of big. Minecraft, was it Minecraft Legends or Minecraft?
It looked cool, but it's not big. Yeah. It
wasn't sure. Big. Redfall has been something they've been trying to make big, but just hasn't had any traction in popular opinion, whereas Hi-Fi Rush is really getting a lot.
Yeah.
And maybe it's because it's fully released. Maybe it's because boom, game dropped.
It's got to be. It has to be. Xbox came out with a surprise. They had a surprise and they said, you could play it today. And that's like the best surprises ever. It's not like, oh, we're going to show you a surprise game. Here we go. Like, you're going to have to wait a year to play it or something like that. Because Xbox can't do that right now. Xbox can't be revealing more games that they can't put out. That is far.
But they get delayed and then they have to, you know.
So how freaking cool is this? And I would say right when it splashed on screen, I was like, oh, I don't know, man. But then it started getting into the gameplay of, you know, you have that circle that kind of comes in, you have to time it for the hits and the music's going in the background. But it's also like you could jump around and it's not a third person action rhythm game on rails. And that's what's cool to me, because I feel like there are a lot that are on rails in a sense of you're not moving your character, but you are doing the rhythm stuff and it's fun. So I think this is cool. This is sick. I'm excited to check this out eventually.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know how I'm going to play it, whether that's on Xbox Game Pass for PC or something like that, or if it finally comes to PlayStation platforms, because I think it's Xbox exclusive right now.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So I think, we'll see. I don't know. I just want my Series X before Starfield happens so bad. We'll see.
We'll see.
And then Redfall, I thought the trailer was okay. I think the abilities are something that didn't stick out to me last time, but look pretty fun in this game. But at the same time, there's nothing inside of me that is freaking out about this May release date for Redfall that I can't wait. Like, I don't know. Nothing inside of me.
I mean, it's a cool studio working on it. It's Arkane. It's Bethesda Softworks. Great studio, but it just doesn't seem super compelling.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't seem super compelling at all.
It's nothing super new.
No. They also stress the whole fact that you can play it completely in solo and in co-op, but it totally looks like a co-op game to me. Like, I would want to play this with a friend, and it doesn't look as interesting without.
Right.
From what I've seen. But I don't know. If you're excited, that's great. Like, if people are excited about it. For some reason, it's not doing it for me. Until it comes out. Maybe, I mean, just like Deathloop. Deathloop wasn't doing it for me at all. It came out, so much buzz around it. Had to pick it up. Really enjoyed my time with it.
Maybe it's like a really great co-op shooter that, like, is the best since Left 4 Dead. Like, if they...
Sure.
Maybe they, like, really hit that formula really, really, really hard, really, really well. And it becomes that Left 4 Dead.
Yeah.
The modern Left 4 Dead that Back 4 Blood wanted to be.
Yeah. And Back 4 Blood has had a lot of updates recently that are looking pretty awesome. Like, a lot of content updates that are looking great.
See, but like, the thing with Back 4 Blood was it never looked fun to me. Like, the core gameplay, and I tried it too.
Mm-hmm.
I tried, and it just, the core gameplay, the shooting did not feel good. They tried to make it into more of like a FPS when, like, the original Left 4 Dead wasn't even... didn't really bother with those mechanics.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciated.
It's interesting because it falls in a spot of like a game that has a like its concept doesn't feel new and its gunplay didn't feel new. It wasn't a bad product, but there was nothing like that screamed. Exciting. Yeah, it wasn't nothing that screamed out that like, you have to play this game. It was fun. I liked playing the demo. That was the whole first chapter of the game and playing through that with friends. I think I did that twice, actually, played through. I enjoyed it, but not enough to actually go forth and purchase the game after that.
I think for me, Back 4 Blood just got a little too nitpicky. Like, there's too many systems for it to have be, like, accessible and to have friends, like, jump in. The thing I like about Left 4 Dead is you can have people jump in and they don't really have to understand the systems of the game. They just kind of let it happen, and it's very simple.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, you have cards and you have loadouts and, like, all this stuff. And I'm like, this is a lot. This is a little too...
Sure. That might have been, in their opinion, their new thing that they're bringing to the table. But it didn't hit
it was.
To some people.
Yeah. I think it was. Yeah. Right. I think they were trying to expand on the formula and make it.
Yeah.
They're trying to innovate, but I think it just counted against them.
Sure. Yeah. Totally fair. Let's jump in. This article is not fun, or this topic's not fun. It's more layoffs. Like, every week we'll be reporting on layoffs this month. Every week we have. And I'm sure... Yeah. It'll continue to happen. Doesn't seem like that's going away. It's like surprises, just left and right and left and right. So this, I put 2 points from a Kotaku article because I felt like it gave a little background to it. So what does it say here?
It says the Washington Post imposed more layoffs on Tuesday, just a week after owner Jeff Bezos visited its Washington, D.C. office. Among the ritual sacrifices will be Launcher, the newspaper's burgeoning. Yep. Is that how to pronounce that word? Mm-hmm. Burgeoning gaming section, which routinely broke important news stories, landed big interviews, and asked the tough questions. Launcher had only just turned 3 years old last fall and was one of the few attempts by a mainstream media outlet to tackle the unwieldy world of video games in a way that wasn't condescending or misinformed. Kotaku understands that some of its team will be reassigned to other parts of the Washington Post, while the others will be laid off. Due to their union contracts, however, those affected will still remain employed until March 31st. And then it goes on to Twitter, where Vincent can recap those.
Yeah, so Nathan Grayson is one of the reporters that was full-time with Launcher. And Nathan was tweeting just how surprised, you know, it just kind of came out of nowhere. But he says, just got out of a meeting about it, so still sorting out what it all means. I've got a book to work on, so at least there's that. But also open to hearing about opportunities in game/digital culture journalism or influencer relations/something else that involves creators. Which is an interesting point that I feel like the games industry right now is not, like, it's hard to have a romanticized view of the games industry right now when so many major things are taking a hit. Like, it's hard to, like, dream about, oh, I can't wait to go to the games industry. Like, this is awesome. It's thriving right now. And it might be thriving, but with all these layoffs, it sucks, dude. You have people, like, working their years and years of their life to get to a certain spot, and then they get there, and they're laid off a year later, you know, because of, like, budget cuts or whatever it is. Nathan Grayson goes on to say, more details, thanks to the union, Washington Post has provided notice instead of giving us the boot immediately. So I'm technically still employed until March 31st. I will be running one more big story that I've been working on for months, but also still looking for new opportunities, LOL. And another interesting point to this is I was listening to another podcast that mentioned this, or talked about this, and this is to go with like the G4 layoffs and everything, is that there are so many outlets and sites that are funded by like a big corporate machine, let's say, but they don't even get that many eyes on their work. Like, can you name one G4 thing that happened? Like when G4, after it got revitalized?
No major events. I remember they kind of were in flux through the popular media, was mainly just clips that I saw.
Yeah.
On Twitter and such. I don't know if their channel like got a lot of,
but you didn't go out of your traction way to find something for by them. The same way like at Washington Post, the Launcher section is like, I'm sure we've quoted a couple things from there, but like I would go specifically for a Gene Park article that he posted, which is like a weird thing of like you have these personalities in a sense that are heading some of these, and it's kind of sad.
G4 is like a unique entity.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Because
but it's Comcast owns them. So it's like that's what I was trying to mark it at. The same way Jeff Bezos, Amazon, like, owns Washington Post.
It's big so that it should have traction.
Right. It should have a huge reach. It should be giant.
But G4 is not It's like a news
right
service, but it's not a news service
yeah.
at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's personalities. It's people who are comedians almost.
Yeah. It's hard to compare it to other things. I meant more right. of just like trying to wrap my head around, like, I mean, we saw it at GameSpot this week, like, also at Red Ventures, because, oh no, so GameSpot got sold to Fandom. Red Ventures sold GameSpot to Fandom, and then Fandom owns a bunch of different things, and they cut a bunch of staff at GameSpot the same way at IGN. Oh my goodness, who owns them? ZeniMax? Zena something? Anyways, they axed a bunch of their people, but it's like, it's all coming from above, in a sense. It's interesting. Anyways, Gene Park goes on to say, please think of my colleagues first. Gene Park, who's the head of Launcher at Washington Post. Please think of my colleagues first and consider a place for them if you can. As for me, I'm staying at the Washington Post. I'm moving to the style section to remain as their games journalist. I'm assuming it's just one. It's just him writing games. This isn't bittersweet. It's bitter. I wish my team was with me. It's not fair. Sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sucks so bad.
After like 3 years of building it up too.
I think your initial point, Finn, is something that's really sticking with me of like, it's hard to be someone, I mean, to a kid, right? A kid who loves video games and wants video games to be their life and they want to work on video games.
Mm.
It's not, I don't think this is going to hit them. Like, they aren't hearing about layoffs in the industry and things like that. What this is like really affecting is people who are in high school and they're like working on design.
Yeah.
And they want to go to college to keep studying game design or even like games journalism or anything like that. Like these are all games adjacent communities that are even like just tech industry in general with Microsoft last week of.
Yeah.
These are volatile industries right now.
Yeah.
And it's hard to have a stable to want a stable future in
right.
any of these industries without that fear of being let go at a moment's notice.
Yeah.
And like, shout out to the union that like was able to negotiate for that end of the month, but still, like, that's,
it's 2 more months, that's it. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's right, scary.
March 31st, 2 more months.
I mean, even right now, the company that I work for is like in the games industry and is also owned by a major corporation, you know, and so like there have been layoffs within my company at, you know, sites and journalism sites. Thankfully, it hasn't hit the creative side of things, but it can. It really can. It's tough. But like, I want to keep moving and doing things in the games industry as well. But like, it's tough. It's tough to see like positions that you want to go for eventually at companies, and then you see the people laid off in those positions. It's like, dude, do I really want to keep doing this? Like, it's kind of sketch a little bit.
Right.
And I do. I'm very passionate about it. You know, I really like, I feel like I'm on the road to like trying to get to these places, but it's scary. You don't ever know.
It's so scary.
Yeah. Okay. It's clip time. I got a lot to say about
time,
this.
Baby.
Here we go.
Great. Oh my God. You want me to intro?
I want you to intro this.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to give you a countdown and then, oh, I almost clicked stop recording. That would have been really bad. I just
Holy
have to look
shit.
At this timestamp, which is 19 minutes. All right, James, take it away in 3, 2, 1, go.
Should protagonists shut up? Forspoken reviews are out, and to no one's surprise, it is looking pretty bleak. But beyond just review scores, there's conversation about writing in video games that has come to light in the past few months, and that's banter.
Banter, James.
Forspoken came out, and every single review touches on this key attribute of the game, and that is protagonist talks too damn much.
Yeah.
Now, let's move on to this tweet here from Where is Aaron on Twitter, and he says, do me a favor, if you see peeps and reviewers on Monday complain about gameplay banter of hashtag Forspoken, and they haven't bothered to set their banter preference to minimal, slap them for me, will ya? Here's a clip from the demo showing how it eliminates all the chit-chatter. And so, there is a setting in the game that you can just go to your settings and audio settings and just turn the banter. You can even turn it off.
But
you
James,
just turn it all the way down.
Question I pose to you is you have a story-driven game led by characters that you've been working on for years, written on for years, this and that. Should the game even have a option in the menu to turn down chit chatter, I understand from an accessibility standpoint that can be helpful for maybe people that get like distracted easily or something like that too. But let's just say for the average Joe, do you really need to add a mechanic to your game that is going, that is like against what your game is?
My answer is no.
Tell me why.
But this is the nuance of it. Is if you're going to write your game and you're going to write in chatter.
Yeah.
If that chatter is not going to be conducive to world building or like character relationships. Mm-hmm. And I guess the point is like a point here is like, who's to say it's actually, you know,
right,
but
right.
If it's just like, I mean, I think you can. I think you say, yeah, this doesn't actually contribute to the character. This doesn't contribute to the world.
Well,
and if you keep that, okay, cut me off. What's up?
Oh, I feel like that banter in video games can be very, it can be great. It can be great. We've seen it done so well so many times in games. Of there are long points in these story-driven games where there's not necessarily a cinematic to hold you over, but there is stuff that they are saying, that are telling you, that is informative about the world and helping. And I really think that God of War Ragnarok is both sides of this equation, because I love the character banter, and that really makes the characters in some moments hit even more. But at the same time, the big complaint that a lot of people had was that the banter around puzzles, it would solve the puzzles for you. It takes away what you want to achieve in the game, which is annoying. And I would like to turn that off, let's say. But like, that shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be a problem. Like, you should just fall in love with these characters and be able to listen to them talk for so long without wanting to like turn them off. Like, I don't want to turn off Mimir telling me things. Right. I just don't want him to tell me the puzzle. Where in this game, it seems like instead of, it's not additive at all, the chatter. It is takes away from the experience in a lot of ways, whether that be not just like, I think it's bad writing. It comes down to bad writing and bad implementation.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say, is like, because it's bad writing and it's not conducive to world building or character development, I think it should be able to be cut off or turned off in a similar fashion to the God of War conversation, just in regards to the puzzle solving aspect of like, I just don't want Atreus or Mimir to give me puzzle hints. And that's it.
Right. Exactly. I think another one that had this conversation pop up recently was High on Life, which is, I mean,
that whole game is built around banter.
That's it. The game is built around banter. And people thought it was annoying at a certain point. I'm like, well, if you think it's annoying, like, don't play it. But because this is the core of the game. If there was no banter in the game, it would simply just not work. Like, it's not what it was trying to be.
Right. The gimmick doesn't work.
So, like, I feel like those are three cases that are very different where, like, High on Life built on banter. God of War Ragnarok, the banter enhances the game. Forspoken, the banter detracts from the game, and
I'm thinking of Horizon right now.
Not a lot of banter in that game.
Not a lot of banter, but there is some.
Yeah, you're mostly solo in that game.
Mm-hmm. You're mostly so. That's true. You are mostly solo, but Aloy does talk to herself.
She does
a little bit.
There was that right when Forbidden West dropped, there was a bug in the game where every time you pick something up, she would say the same voice line, something like that. Mm-hmm. And they patched it day one, so like not really, the reviewers had to deal with it. But I thought that was very funny. But I think thankfully in Horizon, because you don't have a companion following you at the entire game, there's less like times for that to get really annoying. It is additive when she's at like a town and she can talk to people, because that's kind of cool. I think like that's great. It was never too much to where I was like, dude, Aloy, like, stop talking. Like, I don't want to hear it, which is great.
Right.
So it's definitely, it's a game by game thing. I just feel like the conversation has been there.
Or like Spider-Man.
Totally additive to me.
Totally additive. Because it fit. Because it's well written.
Did you not love J. Jonah Jameson popping on and saying some shit and then Spidey saying something back?
Oh, I loved it.
It's amazing. Yeah,
it was great. It was so fucking good. So well written.
But you're right. Spider-Man's in another weird spot where his character, though, does talk to himself. And so you have a game where he's solo and talking to himself, but it works. It's funny. It's well written. Some of it's kind of like roll your eyes, but that's also part of it. Like, that's part of it. You're supposed to kind of laugh at it, that silliness and stupidness. So there's been a lot of clips around going with Forspoken, and I don't think all of it is bad. I think there are a lot of clips that they have shown.
I also don't think all of it's bad.
I've been liking seeing...
I think the cutscene ones are not bad.
Yeah, there was someone that showed a cutscene, and it was like the main character in Forspoken, I forget her name, saying like, oh, I can't believe I did that. I just did that. And then she... It was like funny, and someone put like, you know, funny, bad, or good on each line she said. And it was like funny, good, and then overstays its welcome, really overstays its welcome, not funny. And people just take that last line and say that it's like generalize the whole thing that it's not funny instead of what else would you write there? I think it's silly. It probably matches the character. That's probably what I would write for the character. But yeah, that the dialogue overstays welcome. And if it does that in the chatter, that's even worse. That is even worse. And this is not at all to slight the Forspoken actress, because
I mean, I actually think she nails like most, if not all, of the lines I've heard.
Absolutely. And she's...
It's just bad writing.
Yeah. She's in a AAA video game, and it's about the implementation of like her dialogue in the game, which is...
Right.
Yeah. It's not a slight on her. Right. So very interesting. Let us know in the comments if you have any games that you either love the banter, if it's an additive in the game, or if it completely detracts from the game. Give us a couple examples. I'd be interested to hear more, because like I don't have a lot coming to mind immediately. Every game has like sort of banter, I guess.
Cal Kestis kind of does in Fallen Order.
Absolutely.
Because he talks to BD-1, but BD-1 is incoherent.
He just beeps back.
Cal understands him. He just beeps back.
Speaking of, I just built my BD-1 Lego set, and I'm in love with it. Yeah.
So cool.
It's so sick.
So cool.
Infamous also had a little bit of that too. Has a lot of that. Ghost of Tsushima has like none of that. There's no banter in Ghost of Tsushima. It's a very quiet and peaceful game when you go around the world. It's super interesting. Even though you're solo.
Death Stranding?
Death Stranding, tiny bit, because also you're alone, but you have the baby. You have BB, and we have BD and BB. It's just Norman Reedus. He sometimes says some things to the... to the baby, like, it's gonna be all right, BD.
It just all goes back to the quality of the writing.
Totally.
Is it creative? Is it conducive? It's...
Yep.
I really want to know what the writing room decision was to be like, yeah, we really like... just the tone feels a little off. Like they're going for something. Yeah, like they're trying really hard.
Yeah. Right.
They're trying really, really hard and just over like beating a dead horse.
Yeah. It's very interesting. Are you playing Forspoken? Also, let us know. Thank you guys so much for watching this clip. If you want to watch the entire episode, you can go on podcast platforms and type in Strictly Casual Checkpoint. This is the latest episode, episode 146. Or you can go over to YouTube, become a member, and watch the entire video podcast over there. Thank you guys so much for watching, and we'll see you on the next one. Peace out. Bam. All right, we got some... Oh, we didn't really say Forspoken reviews, but that's okay. We didn't really have to say reviews. Okay. No. What have you been playing this week? That was a big sigh.
I don't think I played anything this... I jumped into... You know what I did?
Yeah, tell me.
A friend of mine, my friend Max, on his work computer... His work computer is like kind of beefy, like not like just beefy enough to be able to play some games.
Yeah.
So we tried to play Star Wars Battlefront 2 online.
Like and that new game is Star Wars a shit show or old?
No, the original.
Dude, I have that on my...
game is a shit show to try and run.
It's because it's weird aspect ratios and like, yeah, it's really tough.
I get black screens in multiplayer games all the time trying to fight with. Yeah, so bad. No, but we played some Fall Guys, which is always fun. They keep adding new maps, dude. Talk about post-launch support that I don't expect. Oh my God.
I was expecting that to blow up and die immediately.
Me too. But it just keeps going. Fortnite, redownloaded that, played like a couple games. Mm-hmm. That game is still fun. Totally. I play no build exclusively, but the game's so fun.
Yeah.
It surprises me with how fun it is every time. Like, oh, Fortnite. But then I'm like, okay, this is a good time.
It is.
There's one more.
Maybe.
Oh, Left 4 Dead 2.
Oh, so you are playing some Left 4 Dead 2.
Wow. I was playing, so that's why I was really talking about Left 4 Dead 2. It's really fresh in my mind of because Max is not like a gamer. He just like played it casually, like growing up sometimes with his friends, like could only play about 20 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. He had those parents.
Sure, yeah.
And so He just like, oh yeah, let's go play Left 4 Dead. So we did. We hopped in for about an hour or two, did some like verses, some different game modes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I was, dude, so directionally challenged. I would
Max.
Yeah. I love him to death, but he's so directionally challenged. That's like he'd just get lost.
Yeah.
But it's so easy because you're like, I know what I have to pick up. Like I'm learning some controls just to use things, but it's so simple. You just like move throughout the level and you kill zombies.
Yeah.
And it like it signposts certain mechanics that it needs you to know and like right. things to interact with.
That game has a lot of banter.
So well made. That game does have a lot of banter.
Yeah.
But Bill's here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yep.
I got a bump over here. The
Boomer
characters.
Bile.
Yeah, exactly. I think the only thing I played this week was I finished Death's Door. So I rolled credits on Death's Door.
Oh shit, cool.
Dude.
How's the ending?
I love it. It was three like back to back boss fights kind of things, and each one got harder and harder. But I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It felt so fresh to me and I highly recommend that game. It probably took me 8 hours to beat the whole thing and I'm 90% done with the game, meaning like I could go back and get the collectibles. But, there's a trophy that I was considering doing, but you have to beat the entire game using an umbrella, which is a hidden weapon at the beginning of the game. And it does half the amount of damage that your sword does. So it makes the game significantly harder. You can use all your magic. Wow. You just have to rely on your magic more than your melee attacks, which is so sick. So I might try that just to do it because I don't feel like I'm bored of it. I want to keep going. There's more to the map to explore and stuff. So I might do it. I really, really like that game.
Dude, I've been seeing on Twitter recently. Yeah. Sorry, I was thinking about more games I've played and whether or not I talk about my experience with Elden Ring.
Oh, and yeah.
I've been seeing Elden Ring mods show up.
Oh, yeah.
On my feed a lot Huge. More and I was like, whoa, I would love to play Elden Ring with some of these mods that are like supposedly like streamlined,
seamless co-op,
a lot of like seamless co-op, yeah. like a lot of like done more rewarding exploration, like yeah. streamlining a lot of like the progression and stuff like that. I'm like, that sounds really interesting.
It sounds fun. It sounds more yeah.
focused.
Like that would be a way that I could try to play it again instead mm-hmm. of going through the Wandering, which is a strong suit to me of Elden Ring, but not what I would want on a replay, I guess.
Which is why you should just play Dark Souls 3.
I know. But I redownloaded Bloodborne. I couldn't even get past a stupid... I don't know how to upgrade things in Bloodborne. We could talk about it later, but like I was so upset. Okay, that, like, yeah. I have Blood Echoes and like all this kind of stuff. Like and I can't figure out how to upgrade anything. I didn't even get to the Cleric Beast. I was like... But I spent like an hour before it. I want
it's
to be
the same way as Elden Ring.
I know. I just got to commit a little bit more. Elden Ring, I was committed to. Bloodborne, I wasn't necessarily committed to yet.
Mm-hmm.
I also.
All right, let's move on. Sorry.
No, it's good. I've been playing. Oh my goodness, what else? I redownloaded Battlefield 2042 because they're adding the class systems back. They're changing the specialists back to classes like in Battlefield 4. So, and they're reworking some of the maps. It's supposed to be a huge update. I haven't tried it out yet, but I'm excited. I can't believe they're still working on it. Battlefield 2042.
Holy shit, wow.
I can't believe they're still working on it. But I really like that game, so excited to check that out. And that's it. That's all I played. It was a really low video game week for me.
Yeah, me too.
But I am excited. There's a couple things I'm excited about hopping into. And Death's Door replay is one of those, right off the bat. Yeah. Cool. Anything else?
That's it for me.
Amazing. Thank you guys so much for watching episode 146 of Checkpoint. Again, leave us a review. Helps us out a bunch. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye-bye.